Okay. Could I start with any prayer requests this morning? I'll just ask for a quick shout out for prayers. Scott, how are you feeling this morning? Brother?
Okay.
Okay.
We're okay today.
All right. Let's continue to pray for Scott and his healing on his left leg and his left arm, right? So, yeah, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we we gather together as an English Sunday school. We desire to hear from you. Last week, our discussion was how come certain Christians start to become unable to hear from you, Lord. And we desire, Lord, we want to engage. And several of our classmates said last week that it takes a preparation of the heart. It takes intentionality to want to hear from you, to let any passage that may have become jaded or we've heard the class said maybe 100 times, but if we're able to listen to you, we really desire to let your spirit speak through your holy scripture to impress upon our heart, Lord. Even if we've heard something 100 times, our class said we can hear something from you. And so, God, we want to ask that every Sunday school this morning that's gathered, we find brothers and sisters that have that posture. And we ask for us today that we enter into your gates with thanksgiving in our hearts. And we enter your courts, this place, Lord, we want to enter it with praise. So, Father, we give thanks to you. We praise your holy name. And we ask that you be glorified and that you would allow us to receive from you what you want to impress upon us. We thank you and I praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, sharing screen and prophets, minor prophets. Okay. As I said last week, we should do a little bit of review. It's good that we start to identify who are the majors and the minors. And I hope this picture helps you. All right. Daniel's online. So if there's some of you who are going to call out the major, there's 4 majors. All right. So our major prophets are, can you guys remember? The photos are just there to help you.
You want me to say Daniel?
Yes, Daniel can say Daniel. And somebody else was supposed to say another prophet.
Isaiah.
Okay, that's Bethany's special friend. And okay, so we got 2 down. We got Daniel. We have Isaiah. Okay, so we knocked off Daniel. The pictures are of, you know, this is very Christ-centered, very messianic. Fun fact for Isaiah, he's the most quoted guy in the New Testament, most quoted, right? Fun fact. So when you see these pictures, very New Testament, Isaiah, don't think of Bethany's close friend, her boyfriend. It is the guy who's most quoted, messianic in his preaching. And then we covered Daniel. Daniel, why is there like a little dream cloud there? Because he was given the ability to interpret what? Dreams, right? So we got Isaiah, Daniel, and 2 more of the majors. 2 more of the majors. Okay, Ezekiel. Why would you see all these bones here? The Valley of Dry Bones, Ezekiel 36, right? Prophesying of the new covenant, And last guy here. Last guy to round out the 4, go ahead. Jeremiah, are you reading or did you remember? Oh, you read it. Okay. So let's memorize those. Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Isaiah, and Daniel. Close out this window here. Oh, do you guys need to see me online? How do I do that? Start video. Okay. And Jeremiah, you're reminded, you know, just by, I'll block out the names next time. So you guys, you know, talked about the potter's house, right? Israel. Like, that's what he's like. That's a very famous, he's a weeping prophet. Very well-known passage of Jeremiah is, Israel, are you not like clay in the hands of the potter? Why are you refusing to be like clay? I could squeeze you up if I wanted to, right? Okay, so we got, close your eye, or, you know, look at me, don't look at the screen. Our four majors are Isaiah, go ahead, Jeremiah, Daniel, good. All right, let's see if you guys remember the minors, and I want to move on with our lesson today. Just helpful. Where am I? Okay, try not to look at the names. It should be, I'll blur them out. If Ryan was here, Ryan would say Jonah, right? Because he loves the picture of the whale, the fish. Okay. Start naming them if you can, try not to read them, but you look at the pictures. Remember the guy with the locusts? Remember the guy who was a shepherd? Remember the guy whose woman was running away from him, which we're going to look at next week?
Malachi.
Right down here. You'll see the coins. The coins, because he prophesied against the priests who were not giving to God and abusing their finances, let's say. Got the guy with the locusts. Who's that? Guy who prophesied against Edom and Nineveh down here. Nahum. Any names you remember? Minors? Go ahead, shout them out. Everyone after Daniel, right? Any names? Not Isaiah. Hosea. Habakkuk. Yes. Obadiah. Oh, now you're just reading it. Okay. When Bex is here, she knows all of them because she, if we've done it in here before, I'm not sure. We've done the Bible, the names of the books of the Bible song. This starts with Q-R-S-T-U-V with that A-B-C-D tune. Right, so I don't think I sing it right, but Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah. Okay. Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. And then the last, now I know my ABCs. Zephaniah, Haggai, which is not how you pronounce it, but helps you remember. Zechariah, Malachi. Yeah, Malachi's from Frank the other day. You want to try that? This song? Okay, 2, 3, 4, from QRS. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah. Jonah, Micah, Nahum. Let me go to a screen where you could actually see the names. Okay, right here. 2, 3, 4. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah. Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. So you got to get that. That's QRS-TV all the way to that. Okay, great. I'd like for us to get familiar with those. Remind me the tips for reading the minors. Remind me the tips. We've talked about it for 2 weeks now. Okay, so remind me the tips. One tip was, Remember the historical context. Remember that it's during the divided kingdom, right? When I gave you this chart here, this helps us quite a bit so that you can remember that after Solomon, the kingdom was divided into north and south. And remember that, because that helps you have a framework of what was happening, right? Okay. Remember to go back to read about what was happening in Kings and Chronicles. That really gives you a depth of the storyline. What was the tension? Was an attack from an enemy? Was it idolatry? What was happening in those kings at that time? A lot of the minor prophets, not all of them, but they will tell you which kings that they prophesied under. Right? So then it takes a little work, yes, but you're like, okay, I might need to Google who was the kings. Even if you Google, that's great too. Google and say, hey, what was going on during this minor prophet? That helps. What was the issue? Why are they writing this way? Why was he pronouncing these judgments? Okay. Second major tip is remember the literary context. Okay. Remember that it's the last set of in the Tanakh and also in our Bible, right? The Hebrew Bible and ours. It is the last set of books, or in the Tanakh, the Jewish Bible, it is the last book, the book of the 12. It's the last set of words that has come from God before a period of silence. And that's why you see a lot of ramp up of two things. You see how God's people cannot fulfill faithfulness to God. Specifically, faithfulness to what? Faithfulness to the covenant, right? Which is the third. Okay. So remember that you see people unable to fulfill their part of the old covenant. They cannot do it. But in every minor prophet, or not every minor prophet, you'll see like these signs of hope. You're going to see these phrases that's like, but someone from the line of David is going to come. And you'll see these little drops of hope, these messianic prophecies that God says, I will not give up on you. I will provide someone. Someone will come from the line of kings to, there's words like, I'm going to restore you. I'm going to renew this. I'm going to make you new. I'm going to bring life to you. So you see these two things right before the Old Testament ends, right? You see God's people unable to do it, unable to keep the covenant. That's the third one. Remember that everything hinges in the minor prophets and Israel and Judah at the time. I mean, Israel is falling apart. That's what's going on. They're just falling apart. They're being taken into captivity, first by Assyria, second by Babylon, and they're in shambles. God is judging them. He pronounces judgment. The judgment gets enacted. And yet you see these phrases that we'll look at in Hosea, where God says, but I will not give up on you. There's still hope for you. And then there's silence, because everything that's pointing to is going to be to the coming of who? Yeah, who said it?
Jesus.
It's all coming to Jesus. And that's what makes the minor prophets really special when you read it. You're going to see a lot of that tension. You're going to see a lot of tension of like, dude, Israel or Judah is so bad. And you're going to see usually sections of judgment and condemnation, and or God has enacted the judgment. And then you're going to see this flip side, these little pockets where God says, but coming soon is the day of the Lord. Coming soon is someone from the line of David. Coming soon is my renewal. But I still love you. But I will renew you. But I will, you'll see that language in there. And that's really powerful because this is the end of the old covenant. This is the old, the prophets are talking about this season of this covenant is going to come to an end. But they didn't know that. Right? So these three tips really help you to kind of get a background and to know as we look into each minor prophet, you're going to see that tension. You're going to see, like, it's going to be a little confusing. Some of them write in poetry. Some of them write not in poetry, but you'll see, like, a lot of shifting. And it's like, judgment, judgment, judgment. God is like, here's woe is to you that you are cursed because you cannot fulfill the side of the blessings of the covenant, right? The old covenant is conditional or unconditional? It was conditional. And if you do all this, I mean, you see that in Deuteronomy 27, 30. If you do all this, you're going to be blessed. If you don't do all this, curses upon you. And you'll see curses upon curses upon curses because God is pronouncing judgment. And then you'll see, but I love me, but I have a plan for you, but I'm going to renew you. I'm going to make you new. I'm going to make new things. That really helps us in our reading. Okay. Maps really help. Northern and Southern Kingdom. I'm not going to go through that. 12 tribes, 10 in the north, 2 in the south. Your major enemies at that time. This doesn't have Babylon. All right, so we have been going through 5 ways of how the minor prophets really apply to us today. We covered one with discussion that God is sovereign and in control. He's over everything. 2, we were talking about this last week. The minor prophets remind us in a day where God's word was scarce and it's a reminder to us that even when there's a void of, you know, what we talked about even last week, when preaching is not biblical or this or that, that God always desires to speak to his people, right? So this is what... No, it's on video. Somebody's video. Oh, someone's watching downstairs. It's on the video. So last week we talked about this question, which I think we had a lot of good conversation on. The third way that the minor prophets apply to us today is that in a day of great unfaithfulness, the minor prophets remind us of God's faithfulness. That's the tension that I was saying to you, that we see almost in every minor prophet, right? We're going to look at that hopefully more in detail. We're going to start getting into the text next week of the book of Hosea. So if you wanted to read that on your own. They remind us that, yes, there's judgment. But God is still faithful. That God is pointing to a hope. And he keeps his side of the bargain. I want to ask you guys a question this morning. In certain ways, we also live in a day of great unfaithfulness. So we use these phrases, we throw them around a lot. But we say God is faithful. We say, oh, people are so unfaithful to God. What do we mean by that? What do we mean by that? Why don't you get into a group of two or three and have some discussion? Okay. So get into a group of two or three. Three maybe. That'll round it out good. And let's start with this. What ways are Christians today unfaithful to God? Listen, here's some examples for your perspective. All right. No right or wrong. Right now, we're just trying to get some dialogue. Okay. Go ahead and get into groups, two or three. Okay, breakout room is done. Breakout room, are you guys back? Okay. Great. So what do we think? Online or in class? What do you guys think? Let's start with them. They finished early. Like they kind of have some ideas. What do you guys say? What does it look like for unfaithfulness today?
Oh, so like you were saying, like how like some Christians would be like, or just people would be like, oh, I believe in God, like, and they're all Christian, right? But they won't apply like. Apply to their life.
Mm, okay. All right.
Well, we're saying like, if people like lie and cheat and steal, like we're saying that like everybody does that, but like they know it's bad and they still like push it.
Okay. Well, so you're saying everybody lies, cheats, cheats and steals.
No.
You said that.
No.
Okay, but your point is that your point was, I just want to follow you because I think it's like good, it's important. You're saying people saying that they're Christians, but they're not showing any faithfulness to God ever, right? Okay.
Or like this just popped up in my head, but like how like some people will believe like say they're a Christian and like get baptized and stuff just so they can go.
Oh, okay. So they want to put their faith in Jesus and they do genuinely or no? Or they do just to be able to get to heaven?
Yeah. They'll do things not because they want to believe in them, like fully, they just want to go to heaven.
Oh, okay. So they want to, okay, that's interesting.
They want to use it.
Sure. Is that okay? What do you, no? To you guys, that's unfaithful.
Well,
it's okay. Don't worry. I mean, I ask these questions sometimes. I had to like backtrack a lot of stuff. I'm talking to Bex because we have a good growing number of like very, like our young ones who are in here. So we can't always go at a crazy deeper level, but I have to keep assessing like, hey, what are we thinking about? What are you guys thinking about? So this is good. You guys are talking about when you thought of what ways are Christians today unfaithful to God, you guys are thinking they are coming to Jesus, placing their faith in Jesus with a wrong motive. Is that a wrong motive? Okay, good.
Another thing we said was like when they say like, oh my God is my only God, but I have different like idols.
Uh-huh. Okay. So you're talking about someone who is a Christian or is saying like, yeah, like I love God, God is my God, but you see in their life, there's idols.
They don't prioritize God anymore.
Okay, all right. As a struggle or as a, like they just never? Okay, cool. Yeah, great. That's, I said no right or wrong answer. This is kind of gauge what you guys are thinking about. How about groups on the back? We'll just go around. Mm-hmm. Sure. Elise, what did you guys talk about?
Talked about like the Ten Commandments part. It's like really easy to break them. Like just like they realize they're always like doing something wrong. But like today, we're like living in a world like in the thing it says we also live in a day of great thankfulness.
Mm-hmm.
Like, since we're living in a world that like puts like pressures on us and mm-hmm. like kind of like expectations mm-hmm. like money and things that the world counts as like success
mm-hmm.
or whatever, it's mm-hmm. easy to like kind of like go away or put other things before God.
Okay. Right. Being tempted to kind of follow the world's way. Right. Okay. Good.
Yeah, and then the you know, like I was thinking about, say, unfaithfulness in marriage, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like unfaithfulness, like adultery, mm-hmm. or anything like that, you're basically forsaking your original relationship with that person,
mm-hmm.
and you're like going outside and pursuing other relationships that are stronger, right? Like kind of back to what Elise said, like she'll have no other gods, right? But have many gods mm-hmm. in our life that, like, practically speaking, we spend more time with them, we pursue them like more in our heart, you know.
Good.
So that's like unfaithfulness in the relationship.
Right. Do you guys all understand what Cindy had said? Right. That's something I heard in this group too, right?
Yeah.
It's like you have this. It's a type of promise. It's a type of commitment. It's a, you called it original relationship, or it's the highest form of a commitment that you can make, right? The covenant is a promise that you don't break, right? It's sealed. It was in those days, remember, Peter would teach us it's cut out of blood. Covenant made in blood. And yet, because Elise was saying, look at what the world does to succeed. And that is very much like what Israel was facing at that time, right? They would say, oh my goodness, all the nations are making alliances to become stronger. But instead of trusting in God, that doesn't seem like it's enough. I think we need to do what everyone else is doing. So we're going to start following their way. That was one of the big things that God was judging them for. Making alliances with pagan nations, nations that are really bad, wicked, evil in their practices. Okay. Good, good. All right, next group.
You got it. Keep it youthful.
Youthful?
Refer to Sam.
All right, keep it youthful. Sam.
Oh. We commented on how unfaithful can be many different things. I thought of it as kind of when he was focused on God.
Uh-huh.
So I said, like, okay, so the animals.
Yes, like, the wolfies.
Yeah, it's like, okay, if I just spent all my time wolfing, then where is God?
Yes.
Like it's a pretty easy thing.
Right.
It's like, so Wolfie's always next to me.
Right. But God's not.
Yeah.
And you know what God does with idols? What God wants us to do with idols? What will God want us to do with idols?
That's a complete story for a different day.
Okay. All right. Yes. I'm not sure we want to see Wolfie like destroyed, burned. Yes. All right. Anything else from you guys back there? So yeah, so this theme that we're saying of like, is God, like God has lost that, not just focus, but like this priority. God's not in my mind. Okay, all right. Last group right here. Any thoughts?
I mean, I'm not sure how it is.
What would you say?
I mean, I said, like, thinking about the greatest commandment, like, love the Lord your God with everything. And we, in general, I think Christians probably don't do that because God is, like, we get distracted.
Mm.
We don't love him with everything. We love him, but not with everything we have.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how we're unfaithful.
Mm.
But then we were also discussing, like, is this unfaithfulness talking about, like, can you be unfaithful as a believer? You know, so that's kind of
where
we left off. And
yeah. Are you a person who's marked with continuous unfaithfulness? Then this is interesting, right? Because then this links right back to what Abby and Clint were saying. Like, you come to God, you want something from God, you don't yield to him in any way, shape, or form. You probably don't understand who you put your faith in. Or did you put your faith in him? So their question in the beginning, right? You two girls, you know, it gets kind of linked up with what Daniel's saying, right? Which is fair. If a Christian's life, a quote unquote now Christian's life, is marked by unrepentant, never changing areas of unfaithfulness. And by that, it might not even be a struggle, right? And so I was asking, like, you know, is it someone who struggles, who desires to be faithful? If you don't care, right? I think what these girls were trying to say was, or I'm not putting words in your mouth, is, did you even make that commitment to God seriously? It's like the reason people get divorced so much today, right? Divorce today is like breaking up with a girlfriend boyfriend. It's like, what promise were you making when you made things called vows? But that's not really what I was talking about. I was talking about, I think in general, seeing people struggle in their faithfulness to God. Do they have that desire? Do they not? What Cindy talked about, and I think what this sets us up for, and I'm out of time, so we're not, man, we are not going to get to the next two ways. I thought I was going to just pass, like, jam through them. This, I'm going to pray about it this week to see if we do finish this up, knock out the rest of the two. But if we don't, this does set us up for Hosea. Because what we're going to see is a pretty crazy story of this covenant relationship that we have with God, which is at the level higher, perhaps. You can debate on what comes first. I believe God's ultimately the author of this covenant type relationship with us, and marriage becomes probably in the world today the most powerful illustration that we can understand of covenant faithfulness. And you see it in Israel, and God uses one of the minor prophets, Hosea, to hammer that very concise message through his own life, through his own marriage. God will call out this prophet and use his marriage to show, like, so that people can feel that pain. Maybe in a fraction of a way of how God sees what Israel is doing to him. All right. So we'll stop there for this week, just for the sake of time. one of the young ones want to pray for us today. Would that be okay? Samuel or Clara, Abby? Much precious. Thank you. It's okay. Keep this.
Dear God, thank you for this wonderful meeting. Ask for us, gave another lesson on the minor prophets. Today, we're going to talk about how to be, right? No, not unfaithful. Not be unfaithful to God and what can possibly distract us from you. And I hope you can allow us to keep you in our path, primary path, straight ahead.
Right.
Instead of like being off to the side, it's like go through the bad choice to get you. Thank you for also teaching us how we can try to remember and read your word, especially through the minor prophets. Because I guess it's pretty confusing. We can know in between spreading it up. So hope you can guide us. Thank you for this good morning and learning.
Amen. Thank you, Samuel.